Dan Riccio joins us online. He of Sportsnet 650.
I was violating the text
in Vancouver.
Wow.
Well, you okay. Always bring what? You didn't want me bringing that to light?
No, that's fine. I stand by it. He has been a choker.
Dan Riccio, is Jovinko a choker?
That is untrue, I would say.
Untrue? Get off. All right, cut Dan. Goodbye. That's it. All right, thank you, Dan Riccio.
You're supposed to play the noise from right. Law and Order.
You can
bring
have
it back.
One more try. Try again.
That is incorrect. Like, right. Jovinko is not a choker. I mean, he assisted Jozy Altidore's goal in MLS Cup Final that ended up being the winner. I know his goal-scoring prowess is kind of slowed down in his last couple of TFC years.
Yeah, to nothing.
Yeah, he only scores on free kicks now. That's essentially what happened.
I'll take that.
But last night, I mean, if you watch, like, he was everything to the team last night. Like, the way he won fouls deep in Tigres' end, the way he was just
diving.
Commanding. Well, yes, to a certain extent.
But
the way he... The way he commands his teammates around the field, like, you know, there was a point where Drew Moore played a really, you know, a low percentage pass to Jovinko, and it ends up back in Tigres' possession. He starts freaking out on Drew Moore, saying, you know, like, you go to the other side. There was an easier pass for you to make. Things like this. And he was doing it all night long. You could see that competitive nature that he brought back. That he brought to TFC. And I think more than just the goal, more than just the highlights that he brings, he's brought a little bit of intangibles to TFC. And you saw it more last night, I think, than you even saw during the MLS Cup final run.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll shift out of this. And I'm not going to try to make this a negative conversation. And it was just a text that I was sending back and forth in the group. But we've talked about this before. And you and I, which is that, like, again, this is a guy who's been one of the best players in league history in the regular season. And a lot of times it hasn't translated into big games. And that was, to me anyways, other than the first playoff goal or the goal to clinch. In fact, I don't even know what it was because no one watched it because it was across from, I think, the bat flip. But I thought that was kind of his biggest goal that we've seen him score for TFC thus far. But I guess that's all relative depending on how you feel about this. So for people that aren't massive MLS fans or massive TFC fans, can you put into context what this mean wins for the organization?
Well, when Bill Manning took over as president of Toronto FC, he was pretty adamant that CONCACAF Champions League was the ultimate goal for this club. And that was at a point where, you know, they hadn't had any real playoff success. They hadn't won an MLS Cup. They weren't even competing in CONCACAF Champions League when he was telling me these things. So it's a long road, and I think it's growing and people are learning more about it, but it is on this side of the world our equivalent to the Champions League, which, you know, it's not going to be that, but that's what TFC wants to measure themselves at. They want to be the first MLS team to ever win this trophy, and they want to go and compete in the Club World Cup against, you know, whoever wins the Champions League this year. They want to measure themselves on that global scale, and that's really been their number one goal since Bill Manning took over.
Do the Mexican clubs take it that seriously as well? Because, the crowd was into it, and that was one of the coolest things about watching that game, I thought, was that unlike what we often get, not just in North America, but here in Toronto, where a team gets down and the fans kind of go silent, that they just kept rising to the occasion every time that TFC would seemingly take them out of it. And it almost resulted in a Tigres comeback and a victory through to the semifinal. But how seriously do they take it in Mexico? I know you're not in Mexico, but if you can get a sense of it.
Tell us what they feel.
The sense that I get is that they are, they've kind of always felt that it's their tournament. Like, MLS teams don't even factor in. And now these last couple of years where MLS teams are starting to make more noise and the gap is closing rapidly, they're starting to get their backs up a little bit. And you're seeing front page of the, you know, tabloids in Mexico talking about how MLS is insulting Liga MX teams. And last night, after Red Bulls and TFC advanced past Liga MX teams, there's Sebastian Jovinko is, you know, Instagramming ESPN Deportes talking about what's wrong with MLS. Or, sorry, what's wrong with Liga MX because they're losing to all of these MLS squads. I think it's becoming a big deal for them. They're starting to feel like, hey, we may not be the best league on this continent, or the gap is certainly closing, and it's not going to be pleasant in Mexico if they lose. You know, well, they are going to lose, but you know, if two MLS teams end up in the final, it's not going to be looked on well from Liga MX pundits.
I also enjoyed that there was no horrifying referee decision.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
Even the, well, but man, you get that so often in these CONCACAF games, especially in Mexico. And I understand it, man. Can you imagine being that referee, where clearly it means way more to the people in Mexico than even it does here in Toronto? And it means plenty to TFC fans, but there's a lot of pressure to make a call that favors the home team in those situations. And Dan, we've seen it time and time again that, yeah, you get some questionable decisions and sometimes you have to play through it. We didn't get that yesterday. Maybe the penalty call, but ended up not being meaningful. And it wasn't obvious either way.
I think if anything, TFC got the benefit of the doubt on most of the calls, right? Same. Like it was,
like the Jovinko dive.
The Jovinko going down easily a couple times. Altidor went down easily a couple of times. And that's part of the gamesmanship. But I do think the referee in charge did give TFC the benefit of the doubt most times. And I think that shows. And the way that Tigres played as well, I think, you know, those teams, they had a lot of respect for what TFC accomplished in MLS last year. You know, like I was talking to some people here in Vancouver, and the Whitecaps played in the semifinal last year, Tigres, and it wasn't much of a contest, really. And a lot of people around here felt that Tigres never really even took the Whitecaps seriously. And you see the way that Tigres played in Toronto last week, they were scared. You know, they played a little bit like, scared. You know, we want to, you know, park the bus a little bit. And I think that speaks volumes to how far TFC has come and the kind of level that TFC is setting for the rest of MLS.
Yeah, that was the big takeaway for me last night, was regardless of how you feel about the team or whether or not you're a fan, there's no question that you lived in Toronto and were a sports fan and weren't aware of TFC and their struggles throughout the years. And I was talking with our producer Sam last night just about how I remember the season of Bloody Big Deal and how that blew up in TFC's face and how everyone was just at that time. And listen, man, I was there with you. We worked together. We were colleagues. And I used to kind of tease you all the time about Bloody Big Deal and how they were, to me, I thought that they were the worst franchise in North American sports based on like the way that they continued to lose and lose and lose. And now they're one of the best teams in North America when it comes to soccer, which is just so shocking to me. And it's so impressive how they've been able to turn this around so quickly and how sustainable this all seems.
I would say the first thing about that, you know, Bloody Big Deal, yes, Jermaine Defoe, but also Michael Bradley.
Yeah,
he changed everything.
But the first year of Bloody Big Deal, I'm saying, was a complete disaster.
And I'll say what they learned from the Jermaine Defoe deal, like Defoe, great player, great career. He's not really played for anybody good ever in his career. You know, he never
Spurs.
Played for a winner. Yeah, but, you know, did they ever win?
No.
A title? Yeah, so thank you very much. You know, he never played for a winner.
England.
Think about Jovinko. Never a winner. You think about Jovinko, he came from Juventus. They are all about winning. They win the Italian League every year. Victor Vasquez grew up in the Barcelona Academy, so, you know, he was brought up in that type of you win at all costs type of atmosphere, even though he never really made it as a Barcelona player. And most recently, Gregory van der Veel, they're signing this offseason, came up from Ajax, which is long known as the great Dutch club. And that's another club where it's win at all costs. It's either you win or that was a failure of a season. And I think that type of, you know, identifying players that have kind of been brought up in that type of culture is something TFC is really done to help aid. You know, they have a ton of talent, yes, and more talent than anybody else, but guys with that type of winning culture has also helped breed what we've seen over these last couple of years.
Dan, you bring a winning culture to this radio program when you join us. Thank
I know Joey Votto doesn't agree, but okay.
What?
Bye. No, yeah, goodbye. That was good. Good out.
Yeah.
No one knows what that meant.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.